We looked Wednesday night at the brazen serpent lifted up. Christ was that brazen serpent. He was the one lifted up for his people to look to. And the Lord had sent vipers in the desert to Israel because they complained, they had murmured, they were at war with God. They said they don't have any water. Lord willing, tonight we'll look at Christ that rock. They had water. They said, we have no bread, and we loathe this white bread. This bread we do have, we don't like it. That's what we'll look at this morning. Manna from heaven. We can't escape by nature what we are. We ain't never going to get away from that. A believer will be ever reminded of what we are. We're sin throughout. In our natural born state, there ain't no good in us. We'll be ever reminded of that. We'll be ever reminded of our need. And it's not just misery. You know, it's, oh, I hate that. I'm miserable. I have a need. I have a need of Christ. We ain't going to get away from that. If we do, we're on something else. It's another gospel, which is not another, as Paul said. It's something drastically different, not something similar. Thanks be to God. Every time we have a need like that, we're reminded of what we are, and we're brought into remembrance once again of Christ's righteousness, of His holiness, His perfect work, who He is, what He did. That's where we're always brought. And the work's completed. That it's finished. God gave manna from heaven. This is a great picture of our Lord's graciousness. This is a great picture of Him delighting to show mercy to an undeserving people. A people that was at war with Him. Israel's a perfect picture of us. Of God's people. Murmuring, complaining, cursing God, charging Him with heinous crimes. People say, well, I never did that. Yeah, we have. Yeah, we have. They were brought out of Egypt. They witnessed all those plagues that went through Egypt. They saw every bit of it. They witnessed firsthand the Passover. Blood was put on their door by the head of their house. They saw the Red Sea parted. Wouldn't that be something to see? They walked through it. I saw that sea parted, and the Lord gave them faith to go between them walls of water to the other side. We're on dry ground. You can say there's dry ground. I stepped on it. They walked it. Pharaoh's army was drowned. They saw that. They're brought to that oasis at Elim. That's where we're at now. There was 12 wells there at Elim. There's 12 tribes of Israel. A well per tribe. There were 70 palm trees. There's perfect shade. Perfect rest. Perfect covering for them. And again, they were led into the desert. They were brought from those horrible things, those trials, to perfect rest, comfort, and peace. They were brought back into the wilderness again. We think His people are going to end up. Perfect rest, comfort, and peace. This ain't a one time, this ain't one shot, one kill. This is an ever-going trial, an ever-going life, a journey we have through this world. Ups and downs. All right, Exodus 16. Exodus 16. Children of Israel was led back out in the desert again. They were filled with unbelief. They were ungrateful. And they charged God with murder. Exodus 16, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which was between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed out of the land of Egypt, that's 45 days after leaving Egypt. All those things we just talked about, it's fresh in their mind. That was a month and a half ago that they lived it. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by flesh pots and we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. That's harsh language. What won't a believer do? What won't they say? It's us, isn't it? millennials are ruining this country, ain't they? Boy, we ain't got no hope. They're driving this stuff down. You know, I'm the youngest pastor in this generation. I don't feel like it, but I am. I was talking to somebody the other day. Everyone that's going to come up is going to be what we've murmured against it now. Boy, that changes their attitude, don't it? That puts it in perspective, don't it? Have we murmured? I don't like the way they're doing that. That's screaming. Would to God he'd have let us die when we had plenty to eat and plenty to drink. I believe that. Things are getting more expensive, ain't they? Gas is going up. Meat's going up. Red meat's through the roof. Lord, you bring me out here to starve to death? He won't, has he? I'll feel that way. I'll be brought to the end of my sin and the full completion of my need. It appears they were charging Moses and Aaron. But to complain against divine providence is to complain against God himself. Why? He works all things after the counsel of his own will, doesn't he? If we kick against his providence, we're kicking him. I'm kicking him. The Lord would have been just and he would have been holy to rain down fire and brimstone right then to kill every one of them. And you know what he did? That's us. That's us. That's where he found us. Every one of us. In loving mercy, he rained down manna from heaven. Manna from heaven. He gave them the thing they needed most. We're going to starve to death. I'll give you bread. That's physical, wasn't it? Christ, the bread of life, is the one thing needful. I'm going to perish. I'm going to die in my sin. I'm going to suffer that eternal death. I need Christ. And he rained it down from heaven. Abundance. Do we need him like we need food? Do I need him like I need food? Am I hungry? Am I thirsty? Am I poor? Am I needy? Meek? Needing him, clinging to him. He said in John 6, Christ gives us a good commentary on this manna from heaven. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, the bread of God, which is he." What's that bread? He. What's that manna? He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world, Jew and Gentile. God physically gave physical Israel bread from heaven so they would live. They didn't die from hunger. And he gives Christ our spiritual bread to his spiritual Israel so we can live. I want us to look at some of the ways Christ is like this manna from heaven. I'm going to try to get through all of them. I hope I can. If not, I'll jump to the end. It's nice at the end. Where did it fall? It says there in verse 1, it was in the wilderness of sin. What could be a better description of what we're living in right now? This world then, this world 100 years ago, this world today. What do you think this world's going to be like tomorrow if the Lord doesn't end it? It's a wilderness of sin. That's where Christ came. It was barren. It was harsh. And the Son of God left his throne in glory. Was made human flesh. And he lived in a world that looked to kill him from the time he was born. There wasn't no room in the inn. There was no place to lay his head while he ministered on this earth. And he was always constantly under the microscope of all them religionists who sought to kill him. How can we stone him? Let's trip him up in his words. What can we do to him? Lay a trap for him. And he never spoke an evil word. He never had a cross look. He never had an evil thought. He was perfect and holy and served his Father the whole time. And what was his reward for doing that? How'd they deal with him? They hung him on a cross. They killed him as a criminal after the way of Rome. They didn't even stone him after the Jews' tradition. They hung him on a cross. We'll kill him like they'll kill him, like them heathens kill people. Let's do it that way. Why did he come down from heaven? He came into this world for this purpose for his people. To save his people from their sins. He came to give life. Came to save his people from their sins. He came into the wilderness of sin, lived perfectly and righteously. He fulfilled the holy law of God and satisfied holy justice. So his people had life. Who was this for? That's where it was. Who was it for? He did all this for a particular people. He did it for his spiritual Israel. People say, well, no, there's physical Israel. I don't know about the spiritual. Paul told us plainly, didn't he? He said, they're not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they children, but in Isaac shall their seed be called. That's the children of Abraham. That's doing the works of your father Abraham. Being a spiritual child, his spiritual people. It says there in verse 4, Exodus 16:4. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain down heaven. I will rain bread from heaven for you. For you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass on that sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. It's not recorded that this manna fell anywhere else in the world. It didn't fall in Egypt. It didn't fall in Canaan. It didn't fall in Rome. Just on the people of God. Just on those that are in the wilderness of sin. Not those in the fancy buildings. Not those in the high places. The wilderness of sin. Hungry. Desperate. Christ, the bread of life, is the substance, the food, the nutrition, the nourishment for all that are ordained unto eternal life. I need something to feed on. I'm hungry. He's it. He's only it. These people, they were needy and hungry. It'd been a while since they left Egypt. 45 days. How much food can you carry on your back? You probably run out about 45 days, won't you? All those leftover things, all those preparations they had made. You're going to leave town, put a peanut butter jelly sandwich in your pocket. You're going to have something to munch on the road, don't you? That's exhausted. Everything that was of their doing was gone. There was nothing in their backpacks, nothing in their bellies. They were hungry. And where did this bread come from? It came down from heaven. It came down from heaven. The Lord tells us there in John 6, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. That's where he was. That's where he came from. And this is where he came to. That physical bread, they did not grow it in Egypt. They didn't grow it in the wilderness. A man didn't grow it. It wasn't manufactured. It didn't come in a can. It wasn't prepackaged for your convenience. It descended from the Lord. Come down from heaven. And it was a free gift. You couldn't buy that manna. You couldn't win it. You couldn't earn it. It was without money and without price. Paul wrote to us, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Christ is that unspeakable gift. And it's personal. He says, it's for you. It's for you. Before I can tell somebody else what God's done for me, God's going to have to do something for me. I'm going to have to eat that bread before I can say, hey, there's bread over here. Is it any good? I don't know. I ain't ate it. Go try it. No, it's good. I've ate it. It's for you. You, individually. And this manna comes right to where his people are. Look at verse 13. End of verse 13. Exodus 16:13. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. It landed right outside their tent. They woke up. They walked outside their tent. And there it was. They didn't have to go far. Came right to their door. Every child of God, the preaching of the gospel comes right to them. It comes to them. And it's the means God used to save His people. It pleased Him through the foolishness of preaching. He chose to do that. Now, they may be shipwrecking Paul on an island. You may fall in love with somebody and they happen to go to church and you just want to be with them. The Lord may open your ears. You may break your leg. The Lord may make your vehicle, time and chain, go out in your vehicle right in front of the church. You don't know what He may do. But He puts His people under His word of truth. He doesn't save them under a lie. He saves them under the truth, and He put them there. He gathers them. Two or three are gathered. He gathers them. And He puts them under the sound of the truth. Some say, well, I found the Lord. He ain't lost. You are. And His people know that, don't they? He found me. He comes to me. He used means and providence to do it, put me under His word, but that was Him finding me. Every believer's got a story of how God came to them. How they were starving in that wilderness of sin. But God found them. I was thirsty, but God watered me. We might not even know we was hungry and thirsty. But God showed me I was hungry and thirsty. I was empty. I had 45 days of not having nothing. He showed me. He gave me a need. We don't know at the time how it landed in front of us, where this manna came from, but we know it's there. I don't understand how that worked, but I know that's what it is, and I know it's where it is. When Christ is preached, when that manna falls from heaven, you walk outside of your tent, and you either gather it up and eat it, or you trample on it. You either gather it up and eat it, or you scoop it up and make yourself a path and get it out of your way. There ain't no in-between. You don't put it in your mouth like a lifesaver and suck on it a while and then spit it back out. That's spitting it out. You either consume it or you don't. You either eat that white bread or you loathe that white bread. You love Christ or you don't. It's that simple. It's one or the other. There ain't no in-between. This manna, it was small in size. It says in verse 14, "And when the dew that was laid was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground." Verse 31 says it was like coriander seed. That ain't big, is it? That ain't big, is it? What a picture of Christ. What a picture of the Word of Christ. The Word of God. They're the same, ain't they? He said, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." It's amazing to think that all the revealed truth of God for His people is in a book that we can carry around. People's got them all over their coffee tables. They keep them in the vehicles and all over this world. You can go buy them by the dozen down at the store, can't you? That's a small thing. You have it on your phone. Have it on a tablet. I don't like those things. I don't think they're good. But power goes out, you can't read nothing. But it's accessible, isn't it? We have those things. And this book's all that's needed to sustain a believer as we walk through the wilderness of sin. All that's needed to make a child of God perfect and complete for the holy God we were at war with. The one we charged with murder. The one we cursed. The one we hated. We loathed. And it's a book about Christ, our bread of life. He said, "These scriptures and these prophets, every bit of it testifies to me." Isn't that what he said? Right there it is. Small thing, isn't it? We're told this man is small. By nature, we like things big, don't we? I like big houses. I want big cars. We want big, strong children. We just looked at that in Genesis 6 the other day, didn't it? Boy, them kids, look at them kids. Boy, strong. Growing good. That's what we brag on people when they have kids. Boy, that's growing. Big. Big churches. Like big crowds, don't we? Big name speakers. Oh, did you know so-and-so's coming? Boy, we'll put on a tie for that one. We'll get all spruced up. And, woo, we'll get there early. Big crowds. The Lord asks us in Zechariah 4, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" We like big stuff. You despise small things? God told Elijah, He said, "You go stand on that mountain." And he said, "The Lord's going to pass by." And a great strong wind rent the mountains. It broke the rocks in half. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And the earthquake, the land shook. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then a fire came. Big, fancy fire. Bright, shining. Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. That man, a small, still, small voice. Don't despise, don't loathe the day of small things. Christ made Himself of no reputation. He made Himself small. He came into this world. He was born into poverty. In our day, if we saw Him, we would say in our vernacular, He's experiencing homelessness. It gets me every time I hear that. And we are too. Those that are in Him, this is not our home. We don't live here. We're just passing through. Isaiah wrote, "He hath no form nor comeliness when we shall see Him. There is no beauty that we should desire Him." But to a sinner, to a hungry person, that manna looks good, don't it? If you're starving to death, not a little bit hungry, I could have some dessert. If you're starving, that manna looks good. If you're hungry, if you thirst for righteousness, hunger for righteousness, if you're poor in spirit, He's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. He's our salvation, and we put all our trust in Him. And this manna was small, and it was round. It was a small, round thing. There were no sides to it. They wasn't a top and a bottom. There wasn't a left side and a right side. No beginning and no end. It was round. You think it was on purpose? The Lord said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. John told us, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. We're loved with that eternal love, that everlasting love. We're given His eternal righteousness. There's no end to it. Where does it start? Where does He start and I end? We're one, ain't we? Continuous, perfect, holy, righteous, right now as His people and forever. As He is, so are we. What peace and rest that is. Everything that's required of me to live is in Him, and it's done. It's complete. Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation which to them which are in Christ Jesus. Right now, we're perfect. Perfect, pure, holy forever. We'll shed this body of sin one day, and I look forward to that. But we're perfect in Him right now. It says that manna was white. It was a small, round thing that was white. White throughout the Scripture speaks of purity. The Word of God is absolutely pure. Christ is absolutely pure. And if something's pure, it can't be 99.99% something and that little 0.01% of something else. That ain't pure. It's close. It ain't pure, is it? It's not completely pure. David wrote to us and said, the words of the Lord are pure as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. He's perfectly pure. Perfectly perfect. He said in Psalm 119, the word is very pure, and thy servant loveth it. Do you love that Christ is holy? Do you love that He's the only one that's pure that ever lived? His purity is excellent, and we love it. And the only reason I'm pure, the only reason you're pure is because He is. Because our union with Him. I wouldn't have it any other way. If anything rested on me at all, 0.01%, I'll ruin it. It's ever bitten Him. He was without spot or blemish. There's no guile in His mouth. He was pure, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. The amazing thing, it's not that Christ is holy and He's perfect. People argue over the silliest things on the face of the earth. That's not the amazing thing to me. What's amazing to me is that His righteousness is mine. He made me holy as He is. He was made my sin. He was made me, and I was made His righteousness before God. That's amazing. That's good news. And it's mysterious, and I'm in awe of it. That's what He's done for us. John said, we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We are given the perfect righteousness of Christ, our living bread, and the Father will accept nothing else. He won't take less. And that's exactly what we're given. This manna was small, round, and white, and Israel had to gather it every day. Israel gathered it every day. They didn't just lay back in their tent, open their mouth, and it fell in like a baby bird, did they? They had to walk out that tent and go get it. There's a little bit of effort required in gathering the bread. The believer, they build their lives around the worship of God, not the worship of God around their lives. It had to be gathered and it had to be eaten the day it fell. If it wouldn't, it bred worms and it stunk. It was for right then. It was for right now. Look here in verse 4. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. You couldn't gather yesterday's manna. It's gone. Yesterday's faith won't do you any good. I need daily bread. Isn't that what the Lord told us to pray for? Lord, give us today our daily bread. I need Christ today. I need to feed on Him today. I may not be in this world tomorrow. We can't say, well, next week I'll feast on Him. You may not be here next week. You may have starved to death by next week. We need Him today. And we seek Him. We gather Him while He may be found. Well, that's where He is. That's where I'm going to be. Why? I'm hungry. How come you're hungry? He made me hungry. He did it. He found me. He sent me bread. That manna wasn't found on trees. It was on the ground. I thought long hard about that. It was on the ground. Why was that disrespectful? That's our mind. My mind, my first thought was, that's disrespectful. Oh, don't let this Bible touch the ground. Don't do anything. You had to stoop to get it. If you're hungry, if you're needy, you're going to bow. You have to get on your knees. Where's Christ found? On your knees. Knees of your heart, maybe. But we're going to come down. We brought low to find him. Manna was gathered in the morning. It says in verse 7, and in the morning ye shall see the glory of the Lord. What a blessing it would be if we're given the ability to see the glory of God first thing in the morning. Would that start your day off better? You think I may have a little bit different attitude throughout the day if I woke up instead of turning on the news channel and getting mad, if I turn to the Word of the Lord, looked at His promises, read something about Him, listen to a message on Him, read a bulletin article about what my God's accomplished, His perfection, His holiness. Beginning each day remembering who He is, what's been promised to His people, and what's been fulfilled in Him for His people. And that manna was given to be eaten. It wasn't given to look at. It wasn't given to talk about. It wasn't given to just only admire. Let's get a big couple handfuls. Let's sit around and just look at this bread and talk. No, you've got to eat it. That's what it was given for, wasn't it? Consumption. It was for nourishment. It is all that was needed for life. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's singular. We have a need, and He's the one thing needful. And He will be supplied according to the riches of His glory. This manna was eaten individually. You take it to be your own. Personally. It's a fact. This gospel's true. It's good news, and we declare it to others. But we take it personally. I'm His, and He's mine. He's mine. Feast on Him. That man is not understood, and it's not perceived. It's not seen, as we saw with Nicodemus the other day, by natural man. Look here in verse 15. I thought this was precious. Exodus 16:15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. They said it's manna because they didn't know what it was. You know what manna means? If you got a marginal reference Bible, it'll show you there. But the Hebrew word for manna means whatness. What is it? Well, everyone knows that white, round, small things are Christ. No, what's that? I don't know. What is it? They didn't know what it was. They didn't understand. They had to be taught. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Moses had to tell them. God gave this bread. Go eat it. Take it up every day. He told Moses to tell them those things, didn't he? Take it up every day. You take an omer. You can get into that's 1.25 gallons. And it's enough for a man. And some took little, some took more if they had a bigger house. Everybody had the same. No one lacked. And no one had over. We have Christ. We don't have any lack at all. And we don't have anything over. Why? It ain't nothing more than Him. Nothing's more abundant than His grace and His mercy for His people, is it? When we're given eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand, we see Christ as that bread that was broken for us. When we take His table and we see our need of it. When we're hungry, we come and we eat. Some don't come because they're not hungry, do they? I pray, Lord, makes me hungry. Makes me hungry. And you know, I've heard this before. You know what the best seasoning ever is for a meal? Hunger. Isn't that right? If you've ever been real hungry and you go to a new restaurant and you get your hamburger, was that hamburger good? Yeah, you want to go back? Well, I don't know. I'm starving. I may have just thought it was real good. It may have been mediocre. Well, if you're hungry, that's the best flavor. Best flavor, best seasoning. He says there in verse 31, Exodus 16:31. The taste of it, at the end of verse 31, the taste of it was like wafers made of honey. He tells us over in Numbers 11 that it taste was of the taste of fresh oil. That's sweet. Christ, our manna, is sweet to the believer. It's sustaining like fresh oil is. There's no bitterness to it. It's precious. And if you read through Numbers 11, you'll see how they prepared this manna. There's a lot of different ways. You could grind it into meal, and they could pound it in a mortar and pestle, and they would shape it and make it into cakes, and they'd make it into bread, different things. Prepare it different ways. You take manna and you make a breakfast out of it. You take manna and fix it somehow different for lunch, and you make it another way for supper. But it was all manna, wasn't it? Isn't that the way we have our Lord? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But there's days that's my kinsman redeemer. That's my husband. And there's days that he's my high priest. And there's days he's my king. And there's days he's the great comforter, isn't it? He's always the same. Our need for him doesn't change. But boy, he sure meets us where we're needing him, don't he? The way that we need him for that day. He's precious to us. I hope that was a blessing.